It's time for Valley Edition, a weekly panel discussion on current issues in the Mat-Su Valley, moderated by Mike Malevsky.
Well, folks, once again, it's time for another edition of Valley Edition. It's my great pleasure to welcome here in the studio, in out of the sun, Terry Snyder. Welcome, Terry.
How you doing, Mike?
Just great.
Phillips.
And on the phone, Philip Manning from Talkeetna.
Always a pleasure to be here.
So I thought we would begin today with plastic bags. People, I think, have heard that Palmer has passed a ban on plastic bags, single-use plastic bags. Now, there's more detail. It's a little more complex to that. And next week, I'll be speaking with the Palmer City Manager to break out all the questions about whether this kind of bag, that kind of bag, etc. But pretty much, it's the single-use that you normally get when you go through the checkout. That's the one that's been banned. And the ban seems to be roughly similar to that in Wasilla. The borough had pondered some form of ban. And my question to you, Philip, is what do people in Talkeetna, Trapper Creek, and the Upper Valley feel about plastic bags and banning?
Well, I mean, I think everybody agrees that they're pretty unsightly, especially since they tend to get, you know, they tend to be very visible pieces of litter. Up here, we don't have the same kind of issues with wind that you can get down in Palmer and Wasilla, so that's not quite as much of an issue. As far as banning them up here, I think it's mixed opinions, kind of like what we've heard when it came up before the borough assembly, that on the one hand, yeah, they are unsightly and people don't like having them around, but at the same time, it's one of those things where it's like, okay, but where does the business's right to, you know, do what it wants with its packaging? How much should we be stepping on that? I will say that there are a lot of folks up here who bring their own reusable bags, whether they're going shopping here locally or heading down valley as well. And the local grocery store here, Cubby's Marketplace, they've been offering paper bags for a while already, in addition to the normal plastic.
Oh, okay. So that's one of those initiatives that's begun by a store. And what is your sense? You travel from Talkeetna to other parts of the valley from time to time. Would you say that there are more plastic bags that have been visible to you elsewhere? Or is Talkeetna in that area a heavy plastic bag area, even given what you've said about the winds?
You see them around for sure, you know, in ditches and things like that. I will say that recently, just a few weeks ago, there was a big community organized cleanup along the spur road here. So you don't see quite as many right now because they just had a big effort to get rid of a lot of them. But I definitely see more as I travel south into the core area of the valley.
Well, that makes sense because we have the big box stores here too. But I think
exactly.
It's interesting to point out that Palmer businesses were in big support of this. In fact, the chamber came out in support, and individual business owners around town came out in support. So it's they're figuring it out, but it is a complete culture shift and letting people know that they don't have to pay for anything if they just bring a reusable bag. And I think it'll catch on. And of course, you know, there's always a chance that a piece of legislation from the state could come down to just do exactly what they did with the smoke-free workplace bill, is make it uniform within the whole state. And there's certainly evidence to support with all of our wildlife and our streams and other issues that they've had with plastic bags that might be forthcoming.
So I'm glad that Terry brought up the smoke-free statewide legislation, because that one is interesting to me. Because it applies statewide, and Talkeetna and the Upper Valley is in the state. So we've had smoke-free in Wasilla and Palmer. What's your sense when this is implemented there in that area, the reaction will be, or has there been already a reaction from places that have allowed smoking?
So there are a couple of bars here in downtown Talkeetna that do allow smoking. One has a designated room in the back, and the other, the entire establishment, allows smoking. And I've spoken with the owner of the latter, and they're actually kind of happy about it, to be perfectly honest. You know, they're talking about putting up an outdoor enclosed beer garden type of situation where people who still choose to smoke can go, because a lot of their clientele does. But I know at least one of the bartenders who works there is very excited that that's going to be the case now going forward. And in the other establishment, with the smoking room, they also already have an outdoor enclosed beer garden. That's part of their licensed premise. So there's already another option there in the summertime, at the very least. Now, the winter could get a little bit more interesting. But it's not going to be a huge impact on one business, and the other seems to be embracing it.
Yeah, that's what we've seen just all around the state. There's a lot of in the area. I know there's a very busy bar in Sutton that has actually wrote a letter of support for it. He didn't want to do it himself, but he certainly was welcoming the benefits of bringing it to his establishment. Particularly, he was very conscious about the cleanup that he has to do after smokers, and you know, the impact to its facilities, which of course the state recognized a long time ago, and you know, that investment needed to be protected. So I worked on this campaign for 5 years. I really didn't hear any significant outcry from the Talkeetna or other area. I mean, most of it was when people got a little confused about it banning smoking and going after the smoker. And of course, that's not what this is. This is why it was sort of nicknamed the Take It Outside Bill. It was, you know, it's fine. It's not about the smoker. We recognize that people still do smoke, but that taking it outside and taking it away from other people, that because of secondhand smoke exposure is, you know, well documented to be a very big harm. And even now the studies on third-hand smoking is coming out pretty strong too. So I don't really look any significant place for a pushback, but that's always good to hear, Philip.
And Philip, what about those other establishments? I'm thinking about the large lodge, a Princess Lodge, or restaurants or other buildings. Has Talkeetna already moved in a smoke-free direction?
In large part, yes. As far as the lodge, the Talkeetna Alaskan Lodge here goes, they do have like those little smokers outpost things around the property. But you know, they're already, I think, at least 20 feet from the door, which I believe is what the law requires now. And so there wouldn't necessarily be an issue there. And as far as restaurants goes, kind of the same deal. There are a couple of restaurants. There's one restaurant with a deck that allows, you know, that has allowed smoking in the past, but that would be within the 20 feet of the entrance, so they'll probably have to move that out a little bit more, but no other major impacts mm-hmm. that I can foresee.
Yeah, and it doesn't go into effect until January 1st, so I think there's plenty of time for people to make those, you know, changes, that accommodation, and I think you'll see a big push from the advocates of this particular piece of legislation, pushing out the education and helping business owners and people to, you know, be well aware what's coming their way. We went through that transition here in Palmer. It was a January 1 deadline, too, and I don't remember any real bumps in the road at all that we had. So I think there'll be support there for people that and businesses that need it. But I think the tourists will welcome this change. I do a lot of traveling, and I don't go very many places, can't think of anybody, places I've been recently that allowed any smoking in a workplace. So I think this just aligns us with the rest of the world. Not the world, the country, I guess.
And Philip, this is the beginning, Friday, of the Memorial Day weekend. And I've noted that there have been reports already that places, whether you're going north or you're going south, that campgrounds are beginning to fill up. I know pulling into a gas station yesterday, I saw the RVs, trailers with four-wheelers, everybody getting ready and going out. Do you see the crowds beginning there in Talkeetna, in that area?
Oh, yeah. We started having buses come in, almost 2 weeks ago now is when the buses really started coming in, and the trains. And with the holiday weekend as well, especially with the beautiful weather that we've got right now and are anticipating, at least for part of the long weekend, we get a lot of of visitors from the from lower in the valley and from Anchorage and other places that come up and spend the weekend up here. So it's definitely going to be a very busy weekend here in the Upper Valley.
Can you speak to the road? There's some road construction up there. Can you kind of update everybody on that? Because I've got some questions on that.
So between mile 90 and 99, they're doing some construction. They're widening that out in order to add more more passing lanes, and that's going to be continuing through the summer. So there, if you're headed this way, there is the potential for some delays as you're coming up this way, so a little bit of extra time for that.
Okay.
What about accommodation changes in Talkeetna, Trapper Creek, and that area this year? Have there been any addition? I know we've talked about in the past the new campground that's up the Parks Highway, which has attracted a lot of people. Are there any other changes in facilities or businesses, et cetera, to accommodate this large group of people coming to visit?
No large ones that I've heard of. Unless, you know, it's possible there's another campground that's popped up. But what we have seen an increase in the last couple of years is the number of things like VRBOs and Airbnbs, to the extent, actually, that it's begun to put a crimp on the seasonal housing market for some of the folks who come up here for the summer to work. And so in the last couple of years, there's definitely been a pinch there. So It'll be interesting to see if there's more of a of an effort to develop toward that market and to accommodate those folks as well.
So is Airbnb a big thing up there, Philip?
It's getting to be one, yes.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Well, hopefully they're paying their tourist tax.
Well, that's interesting. That's an interesting question because, of course, bed taxes go a long way to be available.
Huge.
To support a variety
of
things.
They haven't been raised in a long time, and I've talked to people. I had a friend yesterday I had lunch with from my own hometown in Oregon, and they're a tourist place, and it became so bad. The city hired somebody fully in charge of getting those new Airbnbs in line to pay the tax and to collect them. And they saw a huge improvement in their collection of lodging taxes. So something to keep an eye on, because we want everybody to pay their fair share. They come up, they use, we're glad that they spend business money here. But there's infrastructure that comes with that, and we can't improve what we have if we can't collect what everybody needs to kick in.
And Philip, I know in the past there have been discussions about the distribution of bed tax monies. Is that still an issue of any sort in Talkeetna?
Always. It's always going to be an issue up here. In any given year, 70%+ of the bed tax money that comes into the Matsu Borough comes from this area, from Talkeetna North through Trapper Creek, primarily from those two big lodges, the Talkeetna Alaskan Lodge and the Princess McKinley Wilderness Lodge. And I think in recent years, folks who are pretty civically engaged have really now grasped the concept of why more of that money doesn't necessarily come directly back here to the Northern Valley, because there's state statute and that sort of thing involved. And there has been at least some talk of trying to lobby the legislature to allow some changes to that. But then the counter argument has been that kind of opens Pandora's box, because then, well, if you can target it, you know, to specific areas and communities, what's to say that it's going to be Talkeetna and Trapper Creek that get it, and not, you know, the Butte?
Good point. Yeah, good point.
What I've been curious about is that Talkeetna is not incorporated as a city. Very often what happens is that work for changing any ordinances, et cetera, goes through the assembly. But I'm curious if there are, and I'm guessing there are, organizations, either business organizations, some form of chamber, et cetera, that acts to consolidate and focus and discuss issues on a local basis. Could you talk a little bit about any of those that may exist?
Well, I mean, each of the communities up here has its own community council that, you know, has discussions, and we do have the Talkeetna Chamber of Commerce, which weighs in on a lot of things as well. But, you know, given that the nearest incorporated city to here is Houston, it's everything here is very much on an advisory basis. So the only real direct decisions that the community councils can make are things that their own committee, volunteer committees do, and, you know, the distribution of revenue sharing funds.
Mm-hmm.
And that's about it. Now, that said, those councils, especially, particularly the Talkeetna Council, can have some pretty robust and lengthy discussions on different issues and, you know, writing recommendation letters for permits and ordinances and that sort of thing. But as far as direct decision-making power, the vast, vast majority of that is in Palmer.
So that would only come if Talkeetna decided to be a city, right?
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's a thing that's been tried a couple of times before, unsuccessfully, and it's possible, you know, you hear murmurs every once in a while of the I word coming back around, but I think I haven't seen a significant groundswell in that direction as of yet. There was talk of maybe, you know, trying to form a separate borough up here, but I think some of the requirements that the state has for that have kind of stalled that discussion for now.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see how that plays out with, you know, the shifting of a lot of monies to the local boroughs and cities away from the state, and that, and, you know, there being less of the pie to kick around to see what the benefits is, you know, benefits are of being a city. But I know that's, it's always a very volatile subject.
Well, earlier we mentioned the increased number of people have come to visit. And of course, when people come to visit in an area in large numbers, there's an additional strain put upon utilities. The discussion in Talkeetna in the past around the sewer system, et cetera, water systems, has been heated. What is that present state at this point now?
Well, they just started discharging again last month. The Talkeetna Sewer and Water Systems Sewer Lagoon only has a 6-month permit to discharge, and it might have even been early this month, because they have to wait until ice out in order to be able to start discharging, and that just happened a couple of weeks ago.
Hmm.
So we won't know results as far as tests or anything like that for a little bit longer, I suspect. Now, that said, there are the issues of the year's worth of past violations, particularly for fecal coliform, coming out of the discharge of that lagoon. And the last word on that is that they're still in talks with the Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation regarding what that resolution is going to look like. You know, it's within the letter of the law for ADEC to find that system something on the order of, like, you know, $20,000 a day or something.
Whoa.
They could, and that number might be off, but I know they could find an inordinate sum of money that the utility absolutely could not pay for. But the discussion and what I've heard is that the discussion, which is all happening behind closed doors, is that they're not necessarily looking to take punitive action in that regard. They're more interested in corrective action, and we don't know yet what that corrective action is going to look like. However, there is, whatever that corrective action is, there is a new revenue stream for that, since there is now a 3% sales tax in effect in the Talkeetna Sewer and Water District, which encompasses downtown as well as East Talkeetna, basically going up to where the railroad tracks cross the Talkeetna Spur Road. And that's its own controversy. And
I was going to say, yeah, is there angst about that still?
There's a referendum effort underway, in fact, that has cleared the first hurdle. But the sponsors have recently been informed that while the vote to enact the tax was a service area only vote, and I think there were something like 50 in favor, 40 opposed, it'd be out of 200 and some eligible voters, so not a terrible turnout for a borough election.
Yeah.
But that due to some court cases and things, that a referendum on that ordinance would require a vote of the entire borough, which would in turn require the gathering of just shy of about 3,000 signatures.
Wow.
Well, that's more than interesting. That's incredible.
Yeah, and so I'm still getting some information on that, and there's going to be a meeting next week about that. And I spoke with one of the sponsors who said that she wants to wait until that meeting happens to get all the information before talking to me about it. But we'll definitely be following up on that.
Right. And they're sort of on a fast track, I would say, because they'd want to get it ironed out before things have to be ratified to be on ballots.
Yes.
Right? Which is soon, or August maybe.
I talked to the borough clerk and attorney this last week to get some things clarified on that. And my understanding is the deadline for the October ballot is, I want to say August 4th or maybe the 6th. August 4th is a Saturday, so that may not be correct.
Yeah, I know they're having a meeting between now and the 15th. I can't remember the exact day to talk about ballot measures to start the discussions on them. So that's going to be very interesting to follow.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, there are two other activities that happen out of Talkeetna. One involves flights off to Denali. Do you see any changes as a result of any of the activities on the mountain itself in that whole process this year?
Well, they got off to a very slow start because while today is beautiful and sunny, we haven't had many of those days so far this spring into early summertime, and there were a couple of stretches of more than a week where there was just no getting into or out of the Alaska Range, and so you'd have over 100 climbers stacked up here in town waiting, and as many, you know, potentially in not necessarily on Denali because it's still early in that season, but in various points in the Alaska Range looking to get out.
Oh, okay. Second topic, of course, is fishing. We've had some reports, and this is a kind of a traditional time for starting fishing. There seems to be the first few of the kings that are available in those areas that are early. Little Sioux is the only area that I understand you can, in the valley, actually keep the king. What's the fishing projection in the Talkeetna area?
Well, it's a little early to say for sure. Like you said, you know, there's no retention of kings anywhere up here, so I know that some of the guide services have started shifting that focus. They're still catch and release on the Deshka, but, you know, there's, like I said, ice out was not all that long ago, so it's a little early to tell, but I know some of those guide services, last year we had a really good run of silvers, and so there's some kind of recalibration potentially happening with the state really clamping down on king fishing this year.
Okay. Well, let's then go to our topic, which is going to be heated, and it's going to be right in our face between now and October and November, and that, of course, is the campaigning. We've seen, and we talked last week a little bit about the convention that was held up in Talkeetna and some of the people that had been there beginning the process of getting ready for the primaries. Have you had any new information about people who've thrown their hats in the ring?
Well, I did see, checking the Division of Elections website the other day, that Mike Schauer is going to seek election to the seat to which he was appointed earlier this year.
Notice that.
And David Eastman is running for re-election as well in District 10.
Have you seen any competition for them?
Neil Lacey has filed as a Democrat to run for the District 10 seat, and Patricia Faye Brazel is not listed on the Division of Elections website, but she was at the convention here a couple of weeks ago with campaign signs saying she's running for District 10. So I anticipate that's only a matter of time. And then for Senate seat E, no Democrats or independents yet, but three Republicans. Like I mentioned, the incumbent, Mike Schauer, current Mattsu Borough Assemblyman Randall Kowalki, and current House Rep George Rauscher are all going to be running in that primary.
That's really interesting because Rauscher needs to defend his state House seat. So,
does that mean that he's giving that up?
I have not heard anything to that effect. All I know is he is still listed as a candidate for Senate CD.
Well, that's going to be a very interesting one to to watch for sure.
And when the Democrats had their convention here, they were very much looking for someone to run in that race as well.
Mm-hmm. And of course, because we have city government here in Palmer and Wasilla, and of course we focus on the borough assembly, all of those races are emerging as well. And so we have that layer, and so we talk about October, and we will be focused there, as we also look toward the November election and other national and so on seats. But I think the point you made earlier, Terry, about ballot measures, initiatives, and so on, that's going to be the interesting thing, because we should know the results of that very, very soon.
Yeah, and that really does set the course a lot for elections. You know, who has something, skin in the game on that one. Any talk of the governor's race at all up there? Or is that kind of running on under the radar right now?
As of right now, not a ton. I suspect that will change in the near future. Mm-hmm. You know, not a lot of surface level talk about it. It's more borough assembly and state house and rep, because, you know, with Assemblymember Kowalki running for the Senate, you know, that seat comes up this year. Assembly District 7 comes up this year.
Oh.
Can't do both.
Very, exactly. Very interesting. Well,
Has anybody thrown their hat or names been mentioned for that officially?
Not that I've seen yet.
Okay. Yeah, there's a little time on that.
Yeah, they've got some time.
So one of the interesting things that I find when I drive up the Parks Highway to Talkeetna, Trapper Creek, and so on, is because there's so much forest, I can see the signs for the trees. Well, any signs that are emerging early on for any of these races?
I haven't seen that many up here yet. I mean, there was a profusion of bumper stickers and things after the Democratic convention for some of those folks. I haven't seen a lot of yard signs. Though, to be fair, I haven't done a lot of driving in the last week or so.
Okay.
Speaking of trees, not to go down too bit of a rabbit trail, but boy, I'm hearing a lot of people that are finding spruce beetle kill trees on their property. And there's, I mean, even here in the Wasilla area. And that, of course, always kind of alarms me, because I worry about forest fires and those type of things.
Yeah, it's an issue up here, definitely. Mm-hmm. We had a couple of folks from the Division of Forestry on our public affairs show a few weeks ago to talk about it. And there's definitely some concern as far as forest fires. Talked with the local fire chief here in Talkeetna, and he said a lot of our forest is pretty mixed. Mm-hmm. So it's less of a concern than it would be if it were primarily spruce trees, but still definitely something of concern to keep an eye on.
Yeah, I know my friends in both Montana and Oregon, their tourist season was terribly affected this year by all the smoke from those raging forest fires. So that's certainly something to keep an eye on.
So, Philip, I've asked a lot of questions. Do you have any comments about any other issues that we have not touched upon in your area?
You know, I think we've covered quite a bit of it. I think the thing coming up, you know, with the sales tax referendum is going to be a big story. And then now that the tourist season is in effect, that's going to dominate a lot of the news, as well as the perennial issue of our sewer and water system. So I think we've covered a lot of the big stuff going on right now.
Okay. Well, I want to thank Terry Snyder for coming in this morning. Thank you.
You're welcome. Have a safe holiday.
And I want to thank Philip Manning for calling in as well.
My pleasure, Mike.
And next week, we'll be back with another edition of Valley Edition.
You've been listening to Valley Edition, a weekly panel discussion on current issues in the Matsu Valley, moderated by Mike Malevsky. Valley Edition is a production of Radio Free Palmer, recorded at our studios in Palmer, Alaska. The views and opinions of hosts or guests do not necessarily represent those of Radio Free Palmer, this station, or its underwriters. If you have any comments or questions about this program, email manager@radiofreepalmer.org.